Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Kabbalah, Wisdom for the Nations with Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Science of Kabbalah here on Israel News Talk Radio. This is Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson, along with the wonderful, the amazing, the very handsome, stupendous video guy extraordinaire out on the other side of the glass, on the other side of the world. Even in the U.S., you could be considered on the other side of the world, William.
That is for sure. Well, it's good to be back with you, Rabbi Yitzhak. I'm really enjoying this series. I really appreciate the information you're sharing with us. Really being a true light to the nations. That's a beautiful thing.
You want to get off the subject of me giving you a hard time about being living out in the...
Oh, it doesn't bother me.
Being a redneck living out in the boonies?
Hey, I resemble that remark quite well.
I know. You embrace and accept that moniker without apology.
I'm not sure if that's a wise thing, but I do.
No. It's great. No, William, but it's great because you live in a very quiet place, a very quiet town, so it makes it really good for having the new studio and the quiet out there in the country. I did come and visit you that one time, which is how we met.
Yes, and that's not going to be the last time, I hope.
No, God willing, I'll get out there again. It's not so easy to get to you, though.
Yeah, that's true. You just got to take a boat and then a plane and then a little Piro. Don't forget the horse. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to go alligator hunting in our Piro. Get them a buffet, alligator buffet.
Reminded me of a couple of Cajun jokes that I won't share with you.
I used to watch that show. Anyway, here we are in the Science of Kabbalah, just schmoozing here at the beginning. But when we come back, we're going to be discussing some serious things about Kabbalah, some of the questions that frequently get asked. So stick with us through some messages and maybe some news, and we'll be right back here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and myself, William Hall. It's glad to be here. Glad to see you, my dear brother, and glad to know all the listeners are out there interested in this wonderful topic. So as we move forward, looking forward to what you're bringing to the table on the introduction of the jewels of Kabbalah regarding the book of Exodus, prohibitions on who can learn what, random chaos versus intelligent design. Maybe we'll mix it up. Maybe you'll put it in the library book form. Who knows? We're going to enjoy it regardless.
Yeah, I think we're going to talk about a couple of things. But I always love when you say, we always do double duty on Sundays. because right now, unfortunately, we're not able to do the show live. So the show is pre-recorded. For those of you that are listening in, God willing, we're going to be able to do a live show. Remember, Science of Kabbalah is a new show here on Israel News Talk Radio. So we're getting all the kinks or the bugs out, so to speak. And God willing, as I said, hopefully in the future we'll do a live show, and then you'll be able to call in with your questions live and stump me. Wouldn't be the first time. That's the beauty of this. But yeah, I wanted to talk about a few different things today, William. One of them is something that I've been doing of late is something called Jewels of Kabbalah. I've been writing just kind of a short little blurb here and there. Sometimes it's about the weekly Torah portion. Sometimes it's just a general Kabbalistic concept, just something that comes to mind in my study during the week. Excuse me. But this week, I just thought it was very interesting because in the show last week and on Tanakh Talk, we were talking about the distinctions between the Hebrew, like looking at words, for instance, in the Tanakh, in the Bible, and kind of determining whether or not there's a difference in what the Hebrew means and what the English means. And so, for instance, we look at this week, we just came into a new book of the Bible. We're in the second book. We finished Bereshit, the book of Genesis, and now we're in the book of the second book of the Bible, Shemot, in Hebrew, or Exodus. And it's interesting that in the Hebrew it's called Shemot, and in English it's called Exodus. Now, of course, the main theme is the Exodus. It's the theme after Yaakov, Jacob, goes down into Egypt and reunites with Yosef at the end of Bereshit, and we see that this is the beginning of exile for the children of Israel. And then, of course, in this book, one of the main themes is the sort of redemption and the Exodus. But Shemot actually is the Hebrew word for names. So it's very interesting that you have this concept of the Exodus, but the book is called Shemot, the book of names. Well, we see that, like, for instance, Vayikra, the Hebrew word for Leviticus, that we see the English Leviticus, because Leviticus has to do with a lot of the, a lot about the priests, a lot about the Kohanim and the Levi'im and so forth and what their duties are. But Vayikra doesn't mean Leviticus. Right. It doesn't mean Levi'im. And so it's always interesting to me that we see those kind of things.
I think it's, correct me on this, if you don't mind. So if there were not book title breaks, for example, let's just say that you just remove the titles themselves, they still exist. It's just it's the beginning, or it's the name of the Torah Parsha. So, for example, if let's just say the rabbi has decided not to start the book Shemot, Exodus, right where it did, and they wait till the next Parsha, then the entire book would be called Vayera. Would that be correct?
Actually, it's a good question, and I don't know if I know the answer to that. It's because the book itself is the book itself is named, yes, on the first portion. So it's possible. It's possible, but I honestly don't know the answer to that. So it's a very interesting question.
They named the book in their translation based on the average content of the entire book, not the Parsha, in other words.
Well, so for instance, but I mean, if you look at their, at the Greek Bible, and I'm talking about the what people call the New Testament, typically you have what the first few books are named after the person who wrote it, correct?
Theoretically.
Of course, but I'm saying supposedly, you know, it's...
Right, there you go.
Supposedly it's written, and then, I mean, I don't know, some of the other books, from my understanding, they would be named after like a city or a town where... because in my understanding, in my research of it, and of course I've spent a lot of time looking at it, what I find interesting is, and this is just where I know we're a little bit off topic, but since we're talking about it, we'll talk about it. The truth is that when I look at it, I find it interesting that people compare the two. Certainly there are people, and this is not trying to bash anybody's particular faith or coming against what they believe, but I've always found it interesting that the Tanakh, for instance, we have the first five books that are called the Torah, which we know were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, on Mount Sinai. And then we have many of the books of the prophets and so forth, many books that were written by David HaMelech, King David, and King Shlomo, King Solomon, the Proverbs. We have, David HaMelech with Tehillim. And then you have the prophets. And typically the prophets usually start with, and Hashem spoke to, let's say, Yeshayahu, to Isaiah, and told him to go to Bnei Israel and tell them this. Or it starts with Yirmiyahu or Zechariah or one of the Yechezkel, always starting in a similar way where Hashem comes to the prophet and tells them to go to Bnei Israel and speak to them. And usually it's coming to them and explaining to them that they've done something incorrect, they've broken the covenant in some way, and to make tshuva, to repent. Whereas when you look at the New Testament and the Greek scriptures, typically, from my understanding, is their letters that were written to particular, other than those first books that we were talking about, that theoretically were written by the people who supposedly walked with Jesus. Their letters that were written to specific groups of people about specific issues that were taking place, rather than a corporate group like here, the prophet is talking to all of Israel. Yet in the Greek scriptures, you have one of these people writing a letter to a specific small group of people that are gathering together under the auspices of a home group or what's called a church or something like that. And so I always thought it was very interesting that people try to put the same weight on letters that were written to a small group of people as opposed to something that was given specifically by God to a prophet to speak to the entire nation of Israel.
Nice.
So that's just that. But anyway, okay. So getting back to the book of Shemot and this idea of it being the second book of the Torah and meaning the book of names, it's very interesting that it contains, we talked about it being the exile, but it also, in a way, contains all the secrets of both the exile and redemption. And what we read in this book, of course, a lot of people know this book, not by reading it, but especially this time of year, I guess you see some iconic movies coming out. And one of the iconic movies, at least when you live in the U.S., was The Ten Commandments. So Charlton Heston made this this book very famous because people watch that movie that shows about the enslavement of the children of Israel by Paro, by Pharaoh, the casting of the firstborn into the Nile, the birth of Moshe, and his journey to the palace of Pharaoh in a basket of reeds, and then the revelation of the sneh, the burning bush, and then the famous confrontation between Moshe and Paro, where Moshe states, "Let my people go," and then we read about the 10 plagues and the deliverance, the very scary moment when the children of Israel have their backs to the sea, and then suddenly one of the greatest miracles ever recorded occurs when the sea splits before them and they walk through on dry land. This all culminates with the children of Israel becoming a nation. So we have this concept going from exile to redemption. And so while Exodus might sound like a good name for the book because of the deliverance, the book is actually called the Book of Names. So we have to ask the question, what does our time in Mitzrayim, our time in Egypt, as the children of Israel, have to do with names? And why is a name so significant, William? Wow. So, according to our sources in Kabbalah, your name is your essence. And the Hebrew word for name is shem, for like we see in Shemot, right, and is the same three letters that give us the word sham, which means there. And the word there, in essence, teaches us that you have arrived at a certain destination. So you are there. And so there's really no deeper place for an individual to reach than there, because you reach the inner core or the essence. And even more interesting, William, is that the word Shemayim, typically translated as heaven in Hebrew, Shemayim is the plural form of the word Sham, there. In other words, it is the ultimate there. And so we have the Holy Ishbitzer, one of the famous rabbis, in a commentary in the Midrash on Kohelet, says every person is given three names. The first is the one given to them by their father and mother. The second is the one people know him by. And the third one is the name he acquires for himself. But I see that we're coming up to a break here. So Stick with us. We're going to talk about this concept a little bit more when we come back after the break. Stay with us in the Science of Kabbalah here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Science of Kabbalah. This is Rav Yitzhak, along with William, here on Israel News Talk Radio. And before the break, William, we were talking about Rav Mordechai Yosef Lehner, who was known as the Ishbitzer, the Holy Ishbitzer. And I was talking about a commentary he did on a midrash in Kohelet. Yeah. And so he was talking about, we were talking about the Book of Names, that the Shemot, that this book that's typically translated as Exodus, is really called the Book of Names. And he says that a person is given three names. One is the name that he's born with, not that he's born with, but that his mother and father give him when he's born and named. The second one is the one that people know him by. And the third is the name he acquires for himself. So the one that people know him by, I mean, I used to, when I was growing up, I had a bunch of friends used to call me Ra instead of Ira. Yeah. They called me Ra. So that was the name that I was by, my friends knew me by. I don't know if you had a nickname when you were growing up, but.
I did, believe it or not. It's kind of interesting that I think all of Americans really experienced that same thing in their own world, including the taboo of naming a child a name that you don't like. My ex-wife's name was so-and-so, so I'm not naming my daughter that because she was mean.
Right.
You know, so they have this taboo and they have this aspiration to where they want to use those names. But yeah, on a flip side note, my nickname, believe it or not, was Scooter.
Scooter. That's interesting.
I actually got that because I was always on the move.
Okay.
You never saw me walking slow. I was either just like hustling from point A to point B or something.
My other nickname was Mad Dog. And that's because evidently when I was a child, I would bite people.
Oh,
I was a biter.
For sure.
I was a biter. So they, but I know what you mean about names, because my sister's name is Libby, and she used to get teased all the time because, you know, there's a famous brand of canned goods, Libby's, and the ad was Libby's on the label. You will like it on your table. That was the jingle. So. She hated that because people would make fun of her name, Libby's. But anyway, I want to go back to that idea of the names, because the Kabbalistic masters, like I said, talk about the name being your essence. So they teach us that when we name a child, that this is one of the only remnants of prophecy left to us. Can you imagine that? That's pretty interesting. That's the only remnant of prophecy left to us in the world, because we don't believe that there's prophecy today. That, in other words, is not the person, like the mother and the father, that come up with the name. It's not them who are actually naming the child, but that the name was predestined, so to speak. And it is certainly true, I guess, more so, I guess, with Hebrew names, you know, being named in Judaism, because, of course, you know, we say, formerly known as Ira, but my Hebrew name is Yitzhak Moshe, you know, which is a pretty powerful name in Hebrew when you think about it, being named after Yitzhak, who was one of the the patriarchs and also Moshe Rabbeinu, who was, you know, Moshe, our teacher. So the idea would be that when my mother and father decided to call me that, and I was named that in Hebrew, even though they named me in English, Ira, that that was prophetically predestined that my name would be Yitzhak Moshe in the heavens. And the second, of course, is based on our actions. So the name that we're known by, there you go. I was called Mad Dog. Why? It was based on my actions, because when I was a child, evidently, if you riled me up and got in my face, I bit you. So, I mean, I don't know if that was it when I was in my baby carriage, but I certainly know that when I was younger, not when I was a teenager, but, you know, when I was younger, if I got into a fight, I was known to bite. So,
you know, I gave a guy a nickname one time when I was working at this place. There was this, he was a friend of all of ours. Unfortunately, he was the only one who didn't know why I gave him that nickname. Everybody called him that, though. But I nicknamed him Lefty. And one day he would always come in to work, you know, and he would get ready to clock in. He would always have like something like some food left over on his mouth, you know, like that he didn't wipe off. And I would always point up to go wipe it off. And it's like, he's always got leftovers. So I called him Lefty, and everybody thought that was hilarious. I never told him, and I feel bad about it now, but I couldn't help it. It was just one of those things.
Right. Right. So really, of course, we're talking about our actions. That's taking it a little bit far. What we're really talking about here is, you know, what kind of people are we? Are we, you know, are we good parents? Are we good husbands? Are we good employees? And so forth. So that's the way we're going to be known by the people around us. And then, of course, we may be defined by our actions in this exile. Okay, because we're still living in exile in a way until the redemption comes and until Mashiach comes. But it doesn't have to be like that. And this doesn't have to be who we are at our essence. And then, of course, finally, the third name is the one we acquire for ourselves. And of course, that's the one that's the most important, because everyone knows that we live in a broken world, that we're on a journey, so to speak, to repair it as well as trying to repair ourselves. And so this final name is the one we acquire in not only this world, but in the world to come, by working on ourselves and helping to bring about, excuse me, what we call, what we call Tikkun Olam. And you and I have talked about this here on this show and on the other show that we do, that when we're talking about Tikkun Olam, we're not talking about the kind of social justice-y Tikkun Olam that we hear within liberal circles today, and certainly liberal streams of Judaism. We're talking about the idea of really perfection of the world, or repair of the world. When we talk about it from a Kabbalistic perspective, William, you're talking about this idea of the shattering of the vessels. We talked about this idea that this light that was coming down at the very beginning from the Creator, from Hashem, was being filtered down through the tree of life, through all these sfirot, you know, the different emanations and attributes of the Creator, that these vessels that were being sent down weren't able to contain that light, and the vessel shattered, and it rained down these holy sparks. And now our responsibility, and one of the reasons why I do this show and have the kind of relationships that I have with holy sparks like yourself, is to gather up the holy sparks. And in a way, I feel like the very fact that you and I are together doing this and doing Tanakh Talk is a miracle in and of itself, and not anything that I've done. I don't take any credit for it at all, because it's all the Creator. But he gave me the what we call the zchut, the merit, to gather you as a holy spark, in a way, at least to be a part of your journey and to help you perfect yourself. And at the same time, I'm able to perfect myself through that as well. And so that's the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was in agreement. I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So in a way, that what we're doing is, when we do that, when I raise up a holy spark, when you, with the amazing work that you do here with me on the radio and the amazing work that you do on Tanakh Talk, you're literally raising up holy sparks. We know people like people that you and I know that we both have had impact on in our lives. People that know me from 20, 25 years ago that have just met you, and now they're impacted by the shows that you do as well. You're also raising up those holy sparks. And when we gather those holy sparks, that's the real Tikkun Olam. That's the real perfection of the world. So This is really the secret of the book of Shemot, the book of Exodus, that I wanted to get out today, because I had such an amazing time learning this with my wife over Shabbat, that the secret of Exodus and to our individual and corporate responsibility that we have, that that in essence, the ultimate exile for us is remaining broken in a broken world. But we have the answer to the ultimate redemption. We simply need to take the path that will lead us towards acquiring for ourselves a name in this world that will bring healing and repair. First for ourselves.
I would like to ask you a specific question.
First for ourselves and then the people around us. Sure.
Very good. There's many people out there right now who have, mm-hmm. I've actually met people, you have to, let's say their name may be Christian, for example. For someone who is coming out of Christianity, that name of that child could be quite troubling.
Right.
Rather than going to legally change their name, could a parent just simply assign that child, just for their own growth benefits and for prophetic reasons, as we mentioned, assign that child a name that they could use amongst themselves? You know what I mean? Instead of calling them that name, Christian, or I'm going to go extreme and say Jesus or Jesus, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think today when you consider how many people are coming out of different faith movements and coming to realize that things that even Rambam, Maimonides, wrote about in the Mishnah Torah, talking about that the fact that Christianity and Islam would be used by the Creator to disseminate the idea of Torah and the concept of Mashiach to the ends of the earth. That when we see these people coming out, whether their desire is to remain B'nai Noach, you know, Noahides, or they want to identify themselves as Ger or Ger Toshav, or they are in the process of converting, I think there's no problem with people seeking to identify, as long as people are not doing it for the wrong reason. You always have to have the correct agenda with that. So if people really are just kind of assigning themselves Hebrew names today, just to have a Hebrew name or to sound like they have a Hebrew name or to identify as being Jewish when they're not really Jewish and really just continue to shake the family tree until a Jew falls out, then I think that's incorrect. But if it's really something that's going to help them repair themselves and help them help other people repair themselves, and I think it's something that they should do. It looks like we're coming up to a break, William, so stick with us. We'll be back on The Science of Kabbalah.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and his co-host, William Hall. Me, Will I Am. Some people call me. That's kind of crazy. But it's been a fun show so far. If you missed any of it, definitely want to go back and watch it from the beginning. Hopefully, we're going to squeeze into this last segment two topics, prohibitions on who can study and learn what being Torah, Talmud, Oral Law, Kabbalah. And then the final section will be on random chaos versus intelligent design. Ralph?
Will I Am. Excellent choice. Excellent choice. Oh, no, that's a different name. That was Sam, wasn't it? Sam I Am?
Yeah, I think so. I think there is a Will I Am rapper or somebody or a movie show. I don't know.
Is there?
I guess it's where they get it from.
Yeah. Oh, when I just heard I Am, I just thought of that. Excellent choice. Excellent choice.
I might prefer Will I Ain't. I don't know.
We'll Will see. I Ain't? Yeah, so we'll see how far we get in this.
Okay.
I was thinking about that because it's one of the... that we really didn't address this, and it's probably one of the main questions that I get. We were talking in one of the other segments about the idea that you know, people coming to Torah and wanting to learn, and I was also talking about this with you earlier on the other show, how I had a conversation with my niece and nephew on Skype. They're in the U.S. And we were talking a little bit about what I do, and they know a little bit about my work and teaching Kabbalah and the course that I'm writing, Science of Kabbalah. And we were talking about this idea that there seems to be this misconception, specifically when it relates to Kabbalah, that there was a prohibition on who could learn and when they could learn and so forth. So the average person will come to me and they'll say, I've heard that you have to be 40 years old and you have to have filled your belly, according to the sages, with Torah and the Talmud and Halakha and know all of these things before you're able to study Kabbalah. Now, there is a misconception about that. And I think what happened was there was a period in time when there was a concern as to the unlearned, let's say, somebody who has no understanding or no knowledge whatsoever, trying to tackle subjects that were too lofty for them to tackle. Now, in the same way, William, that you have the concept of like the Talmud, which is made up of two sections, the Mishnah, which is the law, the actual codifications of the law, and then the Gemara, which is the commentaries of the rabbis on those specific Mishnayot, on the, you know, the plural of Mishnah, on the different laws, is the same way, in a sense, that Kabbalah is broken down. Not the book of the Zohar, for instance, the Zohar, which is one of the main works of the Kabbalistic text. And the way it would be broken down is what we call Sitrei Torah and Ta'amei Torah. Sitrei Torah, and this relates to a conversation that we had before about the Tav being at the end of a word related to Av. So Sitrei is a construct like that. Sitrei means secrets of Torah, and ta'am, which means taste, ta'amei Torah, is tastes of Torah. So how does this break down? So the secrets of Torah, we have concept, which is way too deep for us to get into on this show today, that's related to the secrets of Torah, and that's called Ma'aseh Merkava. Ma'aseh, you might hear it because we talked a little bit about the word form and make and create. Na'aseh. Ma'aseh also comes from that word asa, to make. So ma'aseh is talking about the idea of ma'aseh merkava is about the workings of the chariot, and the ma'aseh breshit is the workings of creation. So it was believed that within the Kabbalah that these were subjects that were really too lofty for the average person to learn, that this was really just related to the Kabbalistic masters. But when you're talking about Ta'amei Torah, the tastes of the Torah, or what you've heard me maybe talk about in the past, what I call the intentions of the Torah, is absolutely relevant for everybody to learn. As a matter of fact, you know, the person that I study, not only the Ari HaKadosh, the Holy Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, who most people study Lurianic Kabbalah today, But Rav Ashlag, Yehuda Leib Ashlag, who was one of the modern day Kabbalists that a lot of us follow, this was one of the issues that Rav Ashlag really focused on, William, because he said that he wept over the fact that he felt too much time was being spent, on practical issues of Torah. In other words, the do's and the don'ts, the halakha. And he certainly wasn't nullifying that. He was saying it's very important to learn halakha, and you should try and learn a little halakha every day. But it was really very important to learn the intention, the ta'amei Torah, the taste of the Torah, because he felt that that was the very, this ancient wisdom that you and I are trying to bring out and talk about on this show is the thing that will bring Mashiach and will bring redemption. This is what Rav Ashlag believed with his whole heart. And he was very upset by the fact that more people, especially leaders in Judaism, that Jewish people weren't even learning this. So...
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So the whole concept of, like, for example, the oral, the Torah B'Shal Peh, that was never intended to be written down. So I was told by, I heard one time that a non-Jew is not allowed to even study Torah. But I think later on that might have been clarified that they're not supposed to be studying the oral law, the Talmud. Is that true?
So one of the things that you run into, again, it comes down to Hebrew versus English. And it's understanding the concept of what we're talking about when we use the word Gentile, which I hate that word anyway. Mm-hmm. And a distinction is made in the texts, whether we're talking about the Talmud, whether we're talking about any of the commentators on Torah, on the difference between using the word akum and using another type of word related to a foreigner. The word akum is actually related to an idolater. So oftentimes when you see that it says that a Gentile is not supposed to learn Torah, it's not talking about a non-Jew who has given up idolatry, a non-Jew who has committed himself to the Creator, and a non-Jew who is taken on to be a Ben or a Bat Noach, but it's talking about an Akum. It's talking about somebody who remains in idolatry. That is the type of person that it's referring to that there should be a prohibition against us teaching them Torah, teaching them Talmud, teaching them aspects of Kabbalah. There were those who would argue that that certainly you should only be teaching them within the framework that's relevant to them. So there are rabbis that would say, oh, well, if they're going to learn Torah Shel Baal Peh, it should only be related to the Noahide laws and so forth. For me, anything that's going to help somebody transform, as we said, from this person who's spending most of their time dealing with their nefesh, with their animalistic soul that has desires and wants, anybody who's willing to put that aside to transform themselves into a person that's trying to elevate their higher soul, their neshama, then I'm all for it. And that includes whether the person's Jewish or not Jewish. As long as they've given up idolatry and they're looking to connect with the Creator in a real, true relationship and want to learn Torah and want to learn Kabbalah and want to learn the oral Torah for the right reasons, I have no problem.
And you know, that makes perfect sense on my end, too, because anytime I can look back and anytime I can think of a time where someone had spoken like wicked things about, for example, the Talmud. Okay. It was never the studied people who actually teach us, the ones who are trying to learn it for the wrong reasons. For example, all the negative claims I've ever heard about the Talmud, which are all always, 100% of the time, misinterpretation and twisting. Mm-hmm. But that would be from the Messianic Christians. They call themselves Messianic Jews, who will try to discredit the oral Torah, mm-hmm. and they will put their own spin on it. The websites all over the place.
Right.
And so that's a great example. It would have been better that they never got their hands on it because they just twist things and use it for the wrong reasons.
Very true. So we got about a minute and a half left. So William, we always don't have enough time to tell people how to get in touch with us. So why don't you give them a little bit of information? before we go.
Okay, and so next week we'll hit the random chaos versus intelligent alliance. So for now, if you guys have any questions, temporarily send them to tenaktalkquestions@gmail.com. That's T-E-N like the number, T-E-N-A-K-T-L-K.com, and you'll find the YouTube channel using the same spelling.
Right.
Rabbi, I've had a blast.
If you want to contact me and you want to learn more about Science of Kabbalah, the course that I'm writing, there are two volumes out. You can find them on Amazon, Science of Kabbalah, or look up Rav Yitzhak Michelson or Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson, or you can go to my new website, Kabbalah Project, K-A-B-B-A-L-A-H project.com, and there will be links. It's under construction, so bear with me. I'll be putting up more information. Or you can reach me at Rav Yitzhak at KabbalahProject.com. William, it's been great as always.
I agree. Had a blast.
It was a
two
great
B's
show.
One L, by the way, remember yes. That 2B's 1L Kabbalah.
2B's 1L. Yeah. So stick with us. We'll be back next week on the Science of Kabbalah here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom aleichem.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.